We're here something a little bit different this morning. I have felt that there's something in Joanne's heart that we need to hear as a congregation. And so we're going to do this as an interview style message today, rather than a straight sermon. We're sitting, and normally I'd use a bar stool, so we're nice and high, but there's a moon boot up here and we don't want anyone tripping. So I'm sorry if we're a little bit lower than usual, but we've got Joanne up here and we're going to have an interview. So Joanne, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
Thank you very much for being willing to come and talk to us this morning. I thought we'd start with a little bit of context. Where were you born and where have you lived since?
Okay, well, I was born in Hawara in Taranaki, then moved at the age of two to Blenheim, where I did most of my primary school years, then moved with my family to Gawler, finished off my high school years there, then went to train at Dunedin Teachers College, and then went to Invercargill, and from Invercargill I went to Auckland, where I lived for the last 40 years. So I guess you can guess that my parents were in the Baptist ministry, hence the moving around.
Yes, from north to south, top of the country to the bottom.
Yes.
Now I'll just check at the back there, have we got loud enough volume here? Okay, there's a thumbs up there. Great, we've got to know that as we keep going. Okay, so you studied in wonderful Dunedin, which is my hometown. Tell us a bit about your life as a young adult.
Well, life was going along quite sort of reasonably until I got halfway through my teacher's training in Dunedin, and I ended up having 3 months in Dunedin Hospital. A previous scoliosis surgery, which I'd had when I was 16, went wrong, and it had to be re-corrected again with quite a few complications. Mm-hmm. So I guess that had a big impact on my life, and that I couldn't do the sort of ordinary everyday things that most of my contemporaries were doing. But it was quite a foundation of years for me, in that I was incredibly supported by a loving mum and dad and family, and a wonderful sense of being held by the prayers of many, many, many people. So I remarkably was able to finish my training, I think through the prayers of people, not through my own ability, within the set time, and moved to Invercargill, where mum and dad were at the time, and began my teaching career there. And then after a few years, I was asked by the National Youth Director at that time if I would consider moving to Auckland and going into volunteer youth work. So after a bit of prayer and digging into the scripture, I felt that that was where God had me for that time. So I packed up my little car, then I drove from the bottom of the South Island all the way to Auckland to start something new and something fresh, and it was there that I met my husband Martin. He was the boy downstairs and I was the girl upstairs in the same workplace, and yeah, that's when it all started. We married and began family life.
Okay, so time in Auckland with your wonderful husband Martin,
yeah,
and three beautiful children followed.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, about 15 years ago, something unexpected happened. And what was that?
In December 2011, just quite out of left field, my husband Martin was diagnosed with metastatic melanoma cancer. It was pretty devastating. We were all in shock. And then 3 months later, I was diagnosed with exactly the same cancer.
Quite a blow to a young family, and I understand how old were your children at this time?
Our youngest son, Tom, was at high school. Isaac had just started university, and our daughter had just finished university, so still pretty young.
Yeah. So you can tell us what happened to you.
Well, then the piggybacking began. We ended up at the same hospital with the same surgeons, the same oncologists, the same therapists. We often shared back-to-back appointments. But miraculously, it somehow worked. When I was recovering from surgery, Martin was well. When he was sick, I was well. And so we were both given the gift of being able to support each other. It was looking back, even though it was hard, it was, in a way, it was a gift, because we actually both knew what it was like to go through the same type of treatments, the same disappointments, the same hurts. So it was a gift that God gave us, that we could journey together. But it was hard. It was hard on our family. It was hard to just keep life going on. Yeah.
Thank you for being willing to talk about this. I wonder what words you would use to describe your life at this time.
Well, it was, I guess it's the one that comes to mind, which I guess a lot of people use, it was very much like being on a roller coaster. There were the good times, there were the bad times. We could never plan that far in advance. We never knew what was around the corner, except for the next hospital appointment, and there were lots, lots and lots. Martin loved to plan. I liked spontaneity. Spontaneity won, but there were lots of times of blessing. Lots of times of answered prayer, gifts, miracles, fun and joy, generosity and love. It wasn't all bad, it was just incredibly different.
What were your greatest fears at this time?
That's an interesting question, because a friend actually asked me that not long after I had found out that I had cancer, and I didn't know what to answer her, and I ended up saying I can't really answer that question. I don't know. And I think, looking back, one of the reasons I needed to say that was because I didn't want to live in fear. I wanted to seize each day for what it was. And I wanted to believe in a good God. Not that we weren't in denial and saying this isn't happening. We were very aware of what was going on and very informed. But I think for our family, the main focus was that we trust and believe and hold on to our faith. through that time, and belief that God could navigate us through, regardless of what the outcome was.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And how
I was just going to say, and this is probably quite hard. I did grieve for our children. We were very aware that for them, at the stage of life that they were at, that it was hard, and they were going through significant times in their lives, and then to have two parents that were sick at the same time put an incredible burden on them. I did pray and ask the Lord that he would hold them and that he would keep their faith strong despite the outcome.
It's a very precious and courageous prayer. Thank you for sharing. Am I up to how did you respond, or have we done that as well?
Yeah. No, we're up to
the next one.
Number six. We've got it all written into the book.
So we know that this treatment was successful for Joanne. She's here. Though Joanne, I know you're still on some pretty strong medications, which you have a toll as well. Tragically, your wonderful husband died, and we want to acknowledge the profound grief for you and your children in this loss.
Can't read my script.
I'm aware this is a very personal topic. Is there anything you would like to share about what you found helpful or unhelpful? Or perhaps, where did you see the Lord in this? Or where did you not see the Lord? Because sometimes when people are suffering, it's very hard to sense God's presence.
I think for both of us, we were given an incredible gift of the closeness of God. There were times, I think, when we were distraught with those feelings of hopelessness. But we did feel God very, very close during those years. There were lots of helpful and unhelpful things happening. I'm sure everyone's been there. Lots of words of advice and some that were appreciated and some that weren't. I think as humans we have this incredible need to fix things, and often you can't. But I think it was often in the silence, in the being there, in the quiet of people just coming and helping with everyday life, that were the most helpful things for us as a family. And I can remember being at church, and a guy that didn't know that well, but he just came up and took my hand and he said, "Joanne, I've been wanting to say something to you, but I don't know what to say." And actually, he didn't need to say anything. That was all he needed to say, because I didn't know what to say either. I didn't know how to answer him. And it was often just those small things that meant mean the most.
Yeah. Yes, sorry. You go for your
In talking to us today, is there anything on your heart for us? Anything you would really like us to know or think about?
So in the early stages of my cancer diagnosis, I asked a friend who had just been through breast cancer what she had done to get her through her journey and what things had been helpful. And she gave two bits of advice that I still cling to. One was to really seek the Lord and to ask for a life verse, a verse that we could carry, both my husband and I, that we could carry through the surgeries, through the scans, through the waiting, through the unknown, and really just claim it and rest on it. So for my husband Martin, his verse was Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And I was talking to my daughter yesterday and she said, Mum, that's become an anchor for our family. Still is, we didn't understand. But we could trust. And we could hold on to the knowledge that God was there with us. So for me, mine was Lamentations 3:21-23, not the cheeriest book of the Bible, but it was the echoes I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I clung to that hope that I had a faithful God, that I could rely on his love and his compassion, and that every morning was a new morning. And then the second suggestion that she gave was that I read a book, and we were given many books. Not all of them were read. Not all of them were helpful, but this one really spoke to me. It was called God on Mute and written by Pete Gregg. It was a book that I could understand. But it had great theology and it talked about everything that I was feeling at the time. Weakness, grief, hope, disappointment, faith, doubt, healing and death. It didn't brush over the hard stuff or pretend. It was raw and it was real. And it was exactly what I needed to get me through. And it taught me that I didn't have to pretend. I didn't have to have it all together. I didn't need to be a super Christian. It was okay to be weak, to be angry, to cry, to lament. And it also taught me that God wept my tears and he felt my pain. Yeah. So I guess to just finish, because we've sort of skipped a wee bit. I just wanted to say this is just my journey. I know every one of us has a story. God doesn't write short stories usually. He usually writes pretty good ones. And that it's been a privilege to share. Thank you for asking me, Jennifer. But this is the first time I've spoken publicly about it, so it's been a bit nerve-wracking, but I have had 11 years and a fair amount of time with a spiritual director to walk through the valley. But I guess one of the reasons I said yes to sharing my personal story is because I believe in authenticity. And I believe in authenticity within the church, and we need to be real, and we need to share the bad as well as the good. And sometimes that gets overlooked within our faith communities. And for me, sadly, I've seen friends of my generation that have left the church, walked away from the faith, because they haven't felt comfortable in the church to share the hard stuff. And so it's something that's very much on my heart, and it hurts that is what has happened, and that I believe that as a church, as a community, as Christ followers, we can hold the power of hope alongside the reality of pain. And that Jesus has shown us that. As he walked to the cross, he showed us the reality.
Yes. Well, thank you. You've done amazingly well. Just to finish some of our comments here, we've mentioned the prayer course in the newsletter. So this is a course developed around that book, God on Mute, and by Pete Gregg and the 24/7 Prayer Movement. It's a short course, it's just 5 sessions. Each session goes for about an hour to an hour and a half. It has a 20-minute teaching video with Bible verses and some testimony, and then some discussion questions and opportunity to prayer. And Joanne, you're offering this course, it's free, only 5 sessions, and you're to people in this church, you've run it before.
Yes.
It's an excellent course. Can I commend it to you? 4 things, big or small, recent or past, ongoing or finished, what has happened or not happened, grief, hurt, pain, disappointment, the difficult stuff, we get to bring it to our Lord. As Joanna said, in the cross he showed us hope and suffering held together, and we can bring our things to the Lord. So if you're interested, contact Joanna. But for now, it's not the sort of thing where we clap, but I can sense in this room that you've really appreciated Joanne's honesty and sincerity in sharing with us, and her courage and humility and vulnerability. And Joanne, we will take that as a precious gift. I would like to pray for you now.
But we will take that as a precious gift that has been given to us. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for Julian. And then I'm going to give us a minute of silent prayer where just let the Spirit of God touch on things in your life. Is there anything that he's nudging you or inviting you to bring to him? And then I will close to finish. So Julian.